So what makes letting go so difficult, do you think?
We're attached to things.
Okay, yeah, we're attached to things. Okay, anybody else?
We want to be in control.
Aha! Wow, did you read my notes or? You just know, right? And that is one of the things, right? That's what my first point here, right? I want to control my own circumstances. Can you all relate to that?
Yeah.
I want to control my own circumstances. And you know, God, I always say, God has a sense of humor. You know, because do we really think? What's that?
Mike's not working.
Okay. Is it on now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ron. So where was I? God has a sense of humor, right? And I really believe God has a sense of humor, because especially when it comes to letting go. Because just about the time that we think that we got everything under control, guess what? Right? He pulls the carpet right out from underneath us. And there's nobody that knows this better than I this week. because as we left a session committee meeting Thursday night, on my way home on Williams Pond Road, it looked to me like we were supposed to get rain, but when we came out, there was what, an inch of snow, something like that? And the roads were pretty good, I thought. And then I hit Williams Pond Road, and there was this wooded area, and everything looked fine, but it was black ice. And I hit this patch of ice, and I'm in control, right? I'm holding on to the steering wheel, and it's not going where I want it to go, right? Fishtailing all over the place, and I'm there, here comes a tree. And I thought for a moment that I wouldn't be with you this morning. And so I probably overcompensated, I don't know. And anyway, hit a ditch about, I don't know, 3 feet deep. And guess what? Once you hit one of them, you're going right in the direction that it's taking you. And I hit a big boulder. The airbags went off, and, you know, it smashed my hand. I've still got some swelling in my hand, into the gear shift. And then all this white smoke comes out for the airbags. And I don't know what's worse, being saved by the airbags or breathing in that powder, because I was coughing like crazy. Couldn't open the windows and so forth. But, you know, it's just a reminder, isn't it? And I had already prepared this message. And as is true almost every Sunday, when I go to preach the message or when I'm going to prepare the message, which I usually do on Monday, you know, it speaks to me. And God, you know, I sometimes scratch my head and say, how is it that I ended up at Franklin Hill Presbyterian Church? What's that all about? Well, you know, God keeps reminding me that, Al, I think you needed to go there because I'm working on you, you know? And here's yet another example that just about the time we think we're in control, God says, nope, not going to happen. And he takes control. And for whatever reason, he saved my life. I'm still here.
Amen.
So I guess my ministry here is not yet complete. or ministry to come. I don't know. And so God has a way. Can you all relate to this where you thought you were in control and God said, right? Can any of you relate to that?
It's all an illusion.
I see some heads going like this.
That control is all an illusion.
That's right. That's a good way to say it. It's an illusion. It's smoke and mirrors, right? Because just about the time, like I say, that we think we're in control. Now, how many times? I think I'm pretty healthy, given, my age and so forth. But, no matter how healthy we are, all of a sudden, life can change that quickly.
I can relate. I was coming home from cleaning this church. All right? It was dark. I wound up, I thought it was in my driveway. I wound up in my ditch.
Yep.
I actually went down in my ditch, let down my seatbelt on. I hit my right foot, hit the accelerator, flew up in the air.
Yeah.
Bang, back down. And I'm still able to drive the car. But if I didn't have that seatbelt on, I would have went through the windshield. I'm sure Pastor Al, you had yours on too.
I did, and it saved me probably from going through the windshield. You know, and just yesterday, I was doing a banquet yesterday, and a fellow came up to me and said, you are the eighth person that I talked to this week that slid on ice and crashed their vehicle. And I'm there, wow, really? Eight people? Again, just a reminder that we are not in control. And so that's what makes letting go so difficult. Another reason. I'm afraid that if I let go, I will lose the life I have always wanted. We have this, vision, I guess, of how we think our lives should go. And we make all these plans, and what happens? How many of you, your life is where you thought it was going to go? Yeah, right? That's about the way it is. Maybe a little bit, right? But we're afraid to let go because we might lose the life that I've always wanted or I always envisioned for myself. Makes it very, very difficult. Another reason, I doubt God will cause all things, not some things, all things to work together for his good, for our good. His good, our good, right? For good. Now, think about that. God causes all things to work together for our good. Amen. How can a health crisis cause all things to work for my good? How is that true, God? Right? How is it true that, smashing the best truck I ever owned? Right? How does that work, God? And God is the only one that really knows that sometimes. Because we can't see how that's going to work together for our good. But God is always after something more than what we expect.
Amen.
And you know what that is? It's inside here. God is always after our heart. And he's always after changing us from the inside out. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to see this. And sometimes, and I'm reminded in this church and in this congregation that this is one of probably the primary ways that God is working in our congregation in terms of letting go. Sometimes letting go is, I'll get another truck. Hopefully I'll get a new one. But what do you do? What do you do when a health crisis happens? Letting go means sometimes we have to let go of our health. Let go of our health. God, whatever, change me. I'm gonna let go. And let here, right? Giving up, letting go.
It's not what I want, but what he wants.
Well, you're stealing my thunder here.
I'm sorry, but it's always what he wants.
That's right. One of the other reasons, I don't know, quote unquote, what God will do if I let go. We don't, you know, we gotta know, right? We gotta know. And I'm probably the biggest example of that. I want to know, right? And I got to understand. And guess what? How do you understand God's will for our lives sometimes? How do you understand how God works? You know, many times, shake my head. I don't get it, God. I don't get it. See? We have to know what God will do before we let go. Well, guess what? Not going to happen. If I let go, it means I will have to what?
Surrender.
How many of us love to surrender? You know? Why is that? And in this Lenten season, that's what God is asking all of us. What are you going to surrender? Christ gave his life. Are we willing to surrender our life because of what he did for us? Surrender our health, maybe even.
We think so, but what would happen to Peter?
Well, you need to be quiet because you're stealing my thunder here, you know?
I'm
teasing you.
That's right.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on what? Your own understanding. What's the antidote, right, to letting go? What is it? It's trust. Taking God at his word. If he says he's going to cause all things to work together, then he will cause all things to work together. We just need to believe it, and more than believe it. Here you go, God. Here's my trust. I'm turning it over to you. That's the answer. And even though we don't understand, and even though we don't get it, and this is not working out the way that I wanted it to, right? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And in our church, boy, God has really caused us to do that, hasn't he? I'm going to trust. Are we going to, at Franklin Hill Church here, are we going to trust God? In terms of what the future holds. And we don't know what the future holds. I don't know who's going to be your next pastor. Do you? We don't know what's going to happen here. But I'll tell you who does. Who does?
God.
That's right. And we need, and you know, and you guys are a great example of this. I gotta compliment you here. You know, you guys, I put this phrase in a long time ago, I guess, in the bulletin. I don't know where it came from, but we're a small church with a lot of faith.
Amen.
You know, and faith is what's kept this church going. Many churches have failed in our area, small churches, right? But we continue. It's because we're trusting God. We're trusting God to provide, no matter what. And we're still going. And we're going to continue to go. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. No matter what. Matthew 14, 28 through 33. Trusting God and his word frees us from all doubt, fear, and worry. How many of you had any doubt, fear, or worry? Nobody, right? Yeah. When I saw that tree coming, I got to tell you. But you know, God gave me a peace. God gave me a peace. Deb said that must have been pretty scary. I said, not really. Because what flashed in my mind was, God, I'm ready. I've lived a good life. Not only have I lived a good life, and I'm happy. I'm happy with where I am. I'm ready, God. And should you call me home, bring it on, because I'm ready. And that brings a calm. That brings a calm. I don't know how people do it without Christ. How can you be calm not knowing where in the world you're going? And everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Well, I got news for you. That's not what the Bible teaches. Not everybody's going to heaven. You understand that?
Amen.
It's only those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to come into our life and be our Savior. And we're going to follow him. We're going to trust and we're going to obey. Not everybody does that. But we can have a peace. We can have a peace knowing that God is faithful to his word. And you know what? I gotta say, and I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but I am really looking forward to heaven.
Amen. There.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of pain here.
Amen.
And since the accident, my back has been really bothering me. And after a long day at the banquet yesterday, I got home and I'm like this. You know? And I've never walked like that, but I could hardly walk. And, you know, and I had to take, I don't know, about 4 acetaminophen, 500 milligrams or something. Knocked me right out. But, you know, it's full of pain. Heaven, there's no more pain. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? No more sorrow, no more grief, no more pain. And it's only eternal bliss. Yep. Yep. And Peter here, okay? You remember Peter, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Okay, when Peter said, yeah, he saw Jesus walking on water, and you know, I'm sure he wanted to know, "Hey, how's he doing that? I'd like to do that." You know? And so Peter says to Jesus, right? "Hey, you know, how about me, right?" And so Jesus says, "Hey, step out of the boat." So he steps out of the boat, and guess what? He's walking a little bit.
He's doing fine.
And then all of a sudden, what happens? He starts to sink, right? And you know why that was?
He lost his trust.
He started to think about, no, wait a minute. I'm walking on water. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And he doubts. How many of you ever doubted?
Oh yeah.
Hey? Oh, yeah. Look at the hands, right?
Yeah.
And when we doubt, it undermines our faith. You understand that? When we doubt, it undermines. It's not a sin necessarily, but it undermines our faith. And we begin to waver. We begin to sink under the burden. Right? And Jesus, what, reaches out to us, right? Even when we doubt, you know, he gets it. We're human beings. And he reaches out to us and says, "Here, take my hand. You can trust me. You can trust me." Right? Trusting means surrendering our will for his. And you know, Jesus was a great example of this. Jesus was the only person that ever came and was born on the face of this earth that had two natures. It's called a hypostatic union in theology. You know, you learn all this big word stuff. And what that means is he was 100% human, but at the same time, he was 100% God. And Jesus in his humanity, and this is what I love about Jesus. He gets it. He was human, just like us. And he experienced pain. Pain of all kinds. Physical pain, emotional pain, psychological pain, and even spiritual pain. Because when Jesus, and we're coming up on Good Friday, right? And when you, Jesus, right? Here he is. And he's anticipating the cross. He knows what's coming. And he said, oh, yeah, okay, cool, man, right? Bring it on. Joanne's shaking her head, no, right? No, that's not the way it was. What did Jesus say? Lord, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Jesus said that in his humanity. Take this cup. He didn't want, yeah, he knew what it meant. He knew the pain, the agony that was going to take place. And he said, you know, what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. Can we say that? Are we going to say that? No matter what health crisis we run into. No matter what tree heads our way. Right? Not my will, but thy will be done. There's peace. There's peace. And when Jesus said that, not my will, but thy will be done, there was peace. But it involves surrender. It involves surrender. See? And here's the question. What's it going to take for us to surrender? Or are we going to remain in control of our lives? Are we going to try to understand, you know, what God's doing? Well, good luck with that.
Sometimes it takes a disaster.
Yeah.
To come to that surrender.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, here we go. Right? Truth dispels all doubt. And, you know, how would you like a name, your name to be Doubting Joe, right? Or Doubting Bill, or Doubting Jan, right? But when you think of doubt, who do you think about? Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. But you know what? He's just like us. Just like us, right? Is this really the risen Christ? And we're going to be celebrating Easter pretty quick too, right? Is this really Jesus? Right? He's resurrected. Could it really be him? Is it really him? Right? And what did Jesus say? Put your finger here. Right? See my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. You know, I kind of wish that I was there, you know, with Thomas. Because, boy, what it must have been. What a huge rebuke. Come on. But, you know, Jesus didn't condemn Thomas for that. He said, all right. You got some doubt? Come on. Here you go. Bring it on. I can take it. Here you go. Touch. See? Touch my side. Did Thomas doubt after that? No. And Thomas died a martyr's death. See? And God maybe calling all of us. In a very real sense. Come on. Come on. You're going to believe? You're going to believe? You're going to trust? You're going to let go? Strengthens our faith. What do you think God's doing when he pulls out the carpet from us? What do you think he's doing? When I was in the truck sliding, right? Okay, God, right? It strengthens my faith. Strengthens my faith. Here you go. God says, okay, yeah, all right, now, Al, now you're going to have to go and preach on Sunday morning to tell them all about it. Right? And Joe, you're going through some tough stuff. Bonnie's gone through some tough stuff. Bill's gone through some tough stuff. Right? Others in our congregation, what do you think God's doing? Is your faith growing stronger, Joe?
Every day.
Every day. Bonnie?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Right?
Me too.
Yeah. You too. Yeah, with Sandy. Yeah. Hey. It's about strengthening our faith so that we will follow Jesus in a way maybe that we've gotten kind of lazy about. Hey. God wants us to step up and say, okay, now I want you to go. You know, we're working on some bylaws and the mission of our church, and we're going to come up with a vision. Say, what's God calling us to do? Go. And tell whoever you come in contact with who I am and what I can do for them and what you've done for me. And we will do that if we believe and trust, like Thomas was able to do when he doubted. Right? Uh-oh. I don't know what happened here. But anyway, I think that was there's one slide after that. So here it is. This Lenten season, it's all about surrendering. It's all about giving something. Are we willing, though? Here. Are we willing to give our lives? To let go of our lives and to say, okay, God, here you go. Here you go. And I don't know what's going to happen, but here you go. It's more than just about a truck. That's just material possessions. And you know, the older I get, the more I realize they're just possessions. Let it go. Right? Thank you, God, for reminding me. Right? Let it go. Deb said, you know, I called her. She thought I was joking. And I said, well, why did you think I was joking? She said, because you were so calm. And I think that, you know, the older we get, the more we realize, you know, that these things are just temporary. And even our lives, life is what? But a vapor. Right? It's all about an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for reminding us, and we thank you for putting us to the test of who's really in charge, who's really in control. And Lord, we pray that we might be challenged this Lenten season to sacrifice, to let go, to give up what we think is so important, because there's nothing more important than our faith in you, than our trust in you. And I pray that you would motivate us, as only you can do, to go forth from this building and share Christ with whoever we come in contact with. And that we would be shining examples of what you have done in our lives. Thank you for this challenge this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.